Well, two stories that make the same point about the kingdom of heaven over against the kingdom of this world. Two stories that make the same point about what we can gain over against what we have at the moment. And we just need to note as we begin to look at them that Jesus, we mentioned this last week again, Jesus talking about the kingdom of heaven. That is, the kingdom of God. Heaven, God, mean the same thing in that same title. Elsewhere in the Bible, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, the same thing. And as we noted last week, what the Bible means about, when it talks about the kingdom of heaven, is not a place as such, but it is a rule over our lives. This is the kingship that comes from heaven. This is the kingship of God over our lives that we acknowledge and yield to and flourish under. So we aren't primarily to think of a place so much as a person. Not a kingdom, but a kingship. We're not supposed to think of some region, but a reign over our lives. And so that immediately makes us think not about our postcode, where we live, but about what we live under. What rules our lives? What shapes them, our lives? What dominates our lives? What is it that we think we've got to do? Who is it that we think we've got to please? What do we think is gain? What do we think is loss? And time again, Jesus keeps saying, look, living the way you are at the moment, you're not living under God's reign. Yes, he's sovereign. He knows all things, but there's no acknowledgement of it. Come into this kingdom. Live under his reign. Live under his rule. Live under his kind and gracious and perfectly wise rule. And it's better. It's better. And the fact that it's better is what these two parables are about. And you can imagine, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven. Can you see it? Well, no, you can't really see it like you can see Union Street. Does it look as wonderfully appealing as all the things that get advertised to us? Well, no. Is it as immediate as the kingdom of your workplace or the kingdom of your family or the kingdom of our culture? Well, no, you don't turn on your TV and see a lot about the kingdom of heaven. And when you go to work, you do what's expected of you there. When you're in your family, you do what's expected of you there. It's right there in front of you, in your face, so you respond to that. Now, the people that were listening to Jesus had just the same sort of things. There were the other people who lived in the town or the village and what people would think of you. There were the opportunities for buying things, selling things, trading, increasing your wealth. There were the opportunities for getting a bigger yield in your fields and putting field onto field and just going for that economy of scale and just bumping up your profits. There were all the opportunities then that we face now, less technology, but the same sort of things. Improve this life, have a great life now, live according to what people think you should do. Just the same things as we face. And so Jesus, in these two little parables, says to folk, look, what you've got, however good you think it is, although you know as good as well as anybody else, it's not all good, is it? However good you think it is, what you can gain is worth more than anything you've got. What you can gain is worth more than anything you've got. It's better than anything you've got. So, treasure hidden in a field. And you could farm that field for as long as you like. But there's treasure in there. You've got maybe a house and you've got a, well, not a car in those days, but you might have a nice donkey and cart or whatever. Your donkey's turbocharged and your cart's just the latest, slickest thing on earth. But it's peanuts compared to what you've just found in that field. You think you've got a nice cart? Think of what you could get with that treasure. You think you've got a decent house? Think of what you could get with that. You think you've got life made? Think of what it would be with that. You see, there's treasure there. Treasure is rare. Treasure is more precious than anything you've got. Treasure is the stuff that you dream about getting. Treasure is abundant. And it's there. But in order to get it, you've got to let go of all the stuff you've got. And then, so all the folk who are involved in farming who are around, which would be an awful lot of people, would be picking their ears up about finding treasure in a field. It was a thing that you dreamed about doing. But there'd be a whole lot of other people around who weren't farmers. And they would be merchants. They'd be trading stuff. They'd be, you know, flogging pots and pans. Well, maybe not pans. I know pots anyway. And lamps and meat and all that kind of thing. Not a lot of pork, but a lot of beef maybe. Some, I don't know, chickens. And they know about trading. And so Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had. Now here's a man who knows the value of something. Here's a man who knows the price of stuff. Here's the man who knows what stuff fetches on the market. He's a hard-nosed businessman. No sentimentality at all. He knows what something is worth, and it isn't worth what you feel it's worth. It's worth what the market will pay for it. That's what something's worth. Here's a man who searches around looking for good stuff to sell. And he can spot it a mile off. And he finds this one pearl. And he realizes that it's worth more than everything else he's got. He's not an idiot. He's not a mug. He knows that it is just better to sell everything, because if he kept onto that, it wouldn't be half as valuable. And invest everything in this one pearl. And it makes sense. Because a merchant wouldn't do it for any other reason. It makes sense. The trade-off is better. The investment is a surefire cert. It makes sense. So here are two worlds that everybody listening would recognize. The farmer and the merchant. You see the point Jesus is making? What the kingdom of heaven gives you, what you gain, is worth more than anything you've got. Therefore, what? Therefore, you don't lose by gaining the kingdom of heaven. You only gain. It is not a loss to gain the kingdom of heaven. It is only better. What you get completely outweighs anything you've lost. Now, why does Jesus say that? Two reasons. First of all, because people then, like all of us sitting here, and people wandering around on Union Street and driving up and down, all that kind of thing, we think that if we lose what we've got, it's bound to be a disaster. We hang on to what we've got. Now, here's the thing that happens in life. What we possess ends up possessing us. Because we won't let go of it. Because we're scared. We build up our security in life with the stuff we've got. And we think if we lose that, life's a disaster. We have to have that. So you see, we think that we own our possessions. We think that we have built a nice little life for us and ourselves and we're enjoying it. But what has happened is that our possessions have possessed us. They have told us, so to speak, we've bought into the myth that the things that we've got are things that we absolutely have to have. And if we lose them, it could only be a disaster. That this world is the only safe bet. This world, all the stuff that we can get in it, living in this world, ignoring God, making our own way through life, that's the only deal. And Jesus comes along and says, it's not like that. It's really not like that. There is a kingdom, a kingship, a rule of your life that is way, way better. You see, think about it, the kingdom of this world. Is it just completely good and wonderful? Well, no. It isn't, is it? I mean, are we in the double dip of a recession? Are we still in it? I mean, in Aberdeen, we are incredibly protected from what is sweeping the rest of the UK and the rest of the world. We play a little game when I'm taking Matthew to school. I drop him off at school in the morning and then come here into the office. And we've been playing a little game just because we were gobsmacked at what we were seeing when we were driving from our house down into town. So we play a little game. He counts BMWs and I count Audis, or it's the other way around. And we got bored of that and we lost count. So then he started counting Porsches and I started counting Range Rovers or equivalents. And then he started counting Mercedes, and for a laugh I started counting Nissans. And you would just lose count. Look, there's another one. You missed that one. Look, you know. We're incredibly protected. But we could lose it all. Our own personal circumstances could all change. We think we're secure, but we aren't. And what sort of rule do these things exercise over our lives? If it's our possessions, or if we're dancing to the tune of what people think of us, what are we doing? We're living by fear. Fear of what people will say about us. Fear of what people think. Fear of lagging behind and being thought less of because we don't have this or that or the other. Or wear this or that or the other. You see, what look like benign rulers start to exercise over our lives a less than benign tyranny. Now, over against that, there is the kingdom of heaven, where God's rule over our life is nothing but loving. You come to God and say, I want you to be Lord of my life. I want you to forgive my sins. I want you to make me new. I want to live in your kingdom. I want to live under your rule. His rule is nothing but loving towards you. There is no malice, nothing belittling. There is nothing that God is going to do in your life to make you feel wretched and disappointed because you're not wearing this and you're not driving that and you're not going there for your holiday or whatever. Or you're getting old now and your skin is just a little bit too big for your body now and gravity has had that cruel, cruel effect. God never makes you feel miserable in order to get you to do what he wants. He's never going to spoil your life. He's never going to abandon you. He is absolutely, totally secure. And unlike everything that would rule our lives in this life, he is eternal. So you're on your own. He brings you into a family. You're racked with guilt. He gives you forgiveness. You live your life by worry and anxiety. He gives you peace that passes all understanding. You're turning into a misery gut. He gives you joy in your heart. You're never happy because other people always let you down. Well, you're trusting him and he never lets you down. You're burdened by a past that dogs you. He cleans the past. You've been broken by people. He heals. You've spent your life wondering, what am I here for? He gives you purpose. Because he tells you why you're here. You're here to enjoy him and glorify him forever. You live your life with a nagging, gnawing fear of death. He sorts death. He gives you eternal life in Christ. You wonder if you're wasting your life. Surely there's got to be more to it than gardening. Surely there's got to be more to life than bowls, carpet bowls. Well, he gives you a life that is never wasted because it's investing in eternity. That's why Jesus says that following him, living under his rule, living in the kingdom of heaven, is like treasure or the pearl of great value. And that's why Jesus can say to people who thought they knew a good deal, everything you think you're losing isn't really a terrible loss, because it's so outweighed by what you're gaining. The kingdom of heaven is better than anything you've got outside of it. It's gain, not loss, though it might feel like you're about to lose control of your life, you're about to lose your security, you're about to lose friends, you're about to lose whatever. But you're going to turn to God and live under his rule. And then you will discover that you have only gained. And anything you've lost wasn't worth half as much as what you've gained. So why does Jesus tell this story, just in closing? Well, I'm sure he didn't tell it because he thought that it might be just an interesting little idea to bat around. He told it because it is both an invitation and a challenge. He's saying to the people who are listening, you go, let go of all that you've got. The farmer sold all he had, bought the field. The merchant sold everything he had, bought the pearl. He said, let go of all those other things that are ruling your life. Let go of your self-rule. And turn to God and ask him to be your Lord. Ask him to rule your life. Ask him to rule your life with love, his love. So you have to let go in order to take hold. You have to say, Lord, I don't want to rule my life anymore, and I don't want all the things that are ruling it to rule my life anymore. I want you to rule my life. And I don't want the sins to rule me that have ruled me up until now. I want you to rule my life. I don't want the self to rule me that's ruled before. I want you to rule my life. I don't want to be under the tyranny of opinion. I don't want to be possessed by my possessions. I want you to rule my life. And Jesus says, it's there for the taking. That's the whole point of the parables. There is treasure, and you can have it. There is a pearl, and you can have it. So will you? That's what the point is. Turn from one kingdom. Turn to the kingdom of God. Turn to God himself, the king. And say, be my king. Rule my life. It's only ever better. Let's pray.